Today's Shiur Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Mem Tes. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss, as we discussed in our previous Shiur, different situations of transactions that took place under duress. So says the Gemara, Tavi Tali Lepapi Akinra. Tavi, there was an individual whose name was Tavi, who was a very strong person, took an individual whose name was Papi, and he hung him up on a tree to force it to sell him a property. And once, obviously, this happened, he sold the property. Chosam Rabba Babachana. So Rabba Babachana, together with somebody else, signed on a Meidah. As we've been discussing, the definition of a Meidah is a document that indicates that what happened here, happened under duress. So he signed on the Meidah, Veshkalta. And he also signed on the document, which was the document that indicated that there was a sale here. So he sold on both. On both of those documents, Amar Rav Chuna, man the chosum on my door, shape chosum. Some the person who signed that document did what's right, because the Maidah, in this case, and as we will be discussing in our shiur today, was signed before the actual sale document was done. Man the chosum ashkalta, and therefore, the one that signed on the document that was the transaction, also did the right thing. So even though, point out the Rishonim, that Rava on Daf Mem Amud Beis taught us that even if a Meidah is not written when we're speaking about a sales transaction, just like we learned there about the Kerem de Pradisa, Rav Huna over here is disagreeing, and Rav Huna is teaching us that even though we've learned that Rehuna taught us Taluya Vizervan Zvina Zervan, that if somebody sold something against his will, the sale is considered a valid sale. Still, here he says that if he wrote a Meidah before the sale actually take place, then everybody will agree that the sale is null and void. That's the way the Rashbam and Tosfos learn our Gemara. The Rif says that our Gemara over here is consistent with what Rava said before, that what Rava said over there, that we don't write a Meidah on a sale transaction, that's only where it's a regular sale. And Rava was teaching us that if it was certainly under duress, you could write a Meidah, and it will nullify the sale. Ask the Gemara, Manafshach, I don't understand how Rav Huna said that the individual who signed on both documents, it's understandable and acceptable what he did. Manafshach, in Meidah, if this is a situation of a Meidah, v'loi eshkalta, so then the sale is null and void. V'eshkalta, if we're considering the sale a valid sale, lo meidah. So what does he mean by saying that signing both of them is fine? Answers the Gemara Hachkam. What Rav Huna meant to say was, ilav meidah. If not that there was a meidah document here, man the chasam ashkalta, the person who signs on the ashkalta, shape chasam. Since if there's no meidah, the Gemara is teaching us that in a situation where we don't have a Meidah, even though this transaction was done under duress, given that we have been learning that the halacha is, that, as we just said, Taluya Vizovin Zavine Zovin, that whoever signs something, even if it's done under duress, it's a valid sale. If we won't have a Shtar Meidah, then the Star Mechir will be fine. Because, says the Gemara, as Rav Huna teaches us, Dam Rav Huna Taluya Bezovin, if somebody entered into a transaction under under duress. The halacha is that it's considered a valid sale. It's considered a valid sale. There is an interesting machlokes rishonim here. How to understand this gemara? Does this gemara mean to say that if there's a meidah and a shtar mechira on the same transaction, when you have a meidah and a shtar mechira on the same transaction, the halacha views it as acceptable, a way of being mevatel it, but does it have to be the same owner, same edim, or does it not have to be the same edim? Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this indeed the halacha? Vama Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman teach us? And as the Rishonim point out, and we paskal Rav Nachman, Ha'edim sha'amru amana ha'edvareinu, if Edim say that the document that we signed, and the Ashtar Amana explains the Rashbam, is a document that's written from the Malva to the Loiva that says that if you will ever need funds, I'm prepared to lend it to you. And the reason one would have such a document written up is because if somebody comes and says to me, I want to buy something from you, and I say, well, how do I know that you could afford to buy it? So if he has a shtar amona, then the halacha is that would help him to have it help. And the loiva, when he writes this type of document, is actually trusting the malva that he's not going to exercise, the document and say that you borrowed money from me only if indeed he borrowed the money. So says the Gemara, the Edim who say this ain't among them. Because, explains the Gemara Masechet Ksubos and Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Daf Yud Ches, because once Edim sign an Ashtar, Edim Shechsumim al Ashtar, Nas Kemishenekrei Dosa Mebezdem. So when we see a Ashtar in front of us, we assume that the Ashtar is a valid Ashtar. It's not just that we assume that the Ashtar is a valid Ashtar, but to us, it looks like the way we treat the Ashtar is that it's as if they're testifying. And that's why, indeed, says the Rashbam, when they come and now want to claim that amana hayudvareinu, there's two issues. There are a number of issues. Number one is, like we just said, Edim ha'chsum al shtar is kamish nechre dusa bebezdan. That's one consideration. The other consideration is that kimit shehigit shuvah ein ha'chayzer magid, which travels very much together with Edim ha'chsum al shtar. And once they say, once we have a shtar over here, it's as if they're saying testimony to us, in front of us, that this was a legitimate transaction. And also, since the halacha is, as the Gemara Masechet Ksubos teaches us, atashkein ba'alecha avla, one has to be careful not to have in their home an improper document, and a shtar amana, given, as we explained, could be used in an improper way, so Edim should not be signing that type of a shtar. And because Edim should not be, since Edim should not be signing such a shtar, then the halacha is we don't trust them. We don't accept when they say they signed such a shtar. If the Edim come in and say, that they say that the seller told us that he's selling this property under duress, they again will not be trust. We will not accept that testimony to invalidate the shtar. Because Edim, again, for the same reason, by saying that it's Maidah, they're making themselves into Rishoyim. Why did you sign this type of a document, the sale document, if you knew that this is not an acceptable document? Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. And therefore, if they say that, also Ein Amonim. However, qualifies the Gemara, Hanimili, Alpeh, when is the halacha when the Edim say Medoher Dvarenu, they're not trusted. We don't accept their testimony. That's only when they said it alpeh. They orally said to us that the shtar is it was done under duress. And the halacha, why we don't accept what they say, because the loyos alpeh or maral ishtara, their oral testimony, the halacha is, we won't accept. Avo b'shtar, if they adam signed on a shtar meidah, and a very important point picks up the Rashbam, and the date of that shtar meidah is prior to the date of the shtar, then we will accept. Because Asa Shtara, the first star negates the second star. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, when they say something orally, it doesn't have the ability to negate a good star Mechira. Because it goes back, as we've been saying throughout Ashir, explains the Rashbam. The Eidim Chesumim al Shtar, Eidim Husan and Ashtar Nas Kamisha Nakra Dusum Bebezdin, so the Halacha views this star as a perfectly fine shtar. And since the halacha views this shtar as a perfectly fine shtar, the testimony that they orally give will not be accepted. But in a case that we have a shtar medah, and not only do we have a shtar medah, but that shtar medah predates the shtar mechira, so then we could accept it. The Rebbeinu Yoina approaches the Gemara differently. He approaches that we explained that once we have a shtar, the halacha is that kivin shehigit shavein achayzer magid, once they testify through the shtar, they cannot offer further testimony. But we can't learn, that's a halacha regarding oral testimony. Once oral testimony was offered, then the halacha is that the oral testimony cannot, what you can't, once testimony was offered, you don't get a second chance. But that's an oral testimony. When you have two shtaris, we don't say the rule of kivin shegit shavein chayzer magid. Another explanation that the Rabbeinu Yoina suggests is that if we have a shtar and everything looks perfectly fine with that shtar, so now Adam cannot just come and testify. We don't pay attention when Adam come and say that the shtar that they wrote had a problem with it. But in a situation where it's a shtar that, and the two shtaris, that's not something Bezdin can ignore. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, if Rav Nachman teaches us that if Adam are signed on a document, it looks to us like a regular loan document, and afterwards they say, Amonahid Varenu, that this was not a loan, it was only a document saying that we're prepared to lend money, that the Malv was prepared to lend money, ain't a monim. But if they say, Maidah Hayadvarenu, also the halacha is ain't a monim, they're not trusted that they could undo a good shtar. Umab Ravashi Amma, but whatever Ravashi says, a monah Hayadvarenu, if they say a monah Hayadvarenu, ain't a monim, they don't have a right to say that, for the various reasons we've been learning throughout our shir. But if they say, Ma'idah ha'yudvarenu, then the mana will accept what they say. My tama, what's the difference? Shazan nitin lekasev. Ashtar imana, ashtar ma'idah is something that Chazal instituted. Something that Chazal instituted, that a person should have a way to protect himself as being forced to sell something. Whereas a shtar amana, there's no right to sign. And not only did I see the Rishonim say that there's no right to sign a shtar amana because we're not supposed to have shtar amanas. What does the shtar amana say? That this person lent the other person money. And that's a flat out lie. He didn't lend the money. In other words, when you sign a shtar meidah, if that's what actually happened here, that this person was fined, forced to sell, so the Edom are signing on a shtar which actually says the truth. But when Edom are signing on a shtar amana, they're signing something which is not true, and therefore they're not treated the same. The Edom, when they say, according to the Gemara, now that say, Medoihad Varenu Namonim, I saw not only So now the question is, when will we trust them? Is it going to be only in a situation, discussed through Rishonim, where we need them to say that this is their signature? So by them saying their signature, and without them testifying that this is their signature, we would never know that this is a valid shtar, could not get certified. So therefore, it's a case of Pesha also Pesha Hitter, and that's why we accept what they say. But say to Rishonim, even if we could independently verify this signature, there is no reason, we still accept the testimony that Maidaya Dvarenu. Because saying Maidaya Dvarenu is not specifically a contradiction where it says in the shtar. It's saying that the shtar took place, that this transaction took place, but also they're saying in a separate shtar that there was Maidah. But Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that the only time that the Maharva Rav Ashi is teaching us that we accept what they say is in a case where we need them to verify their signatures. But if the shtar mechira that they are signed on can be independently certified, then we won't accept when they say Maidah Haya Dvareinu. Why does Rav Nachman hold that? Rav Nachman obviously holds that even though they signed on the Shtar Midah, and even though the Shtar Midah predates the Shtar Mechira, we don't accept what they say in the Shtar Midah. And the Ran explains, he says that signing a Shtar Mechira after you signed the Shtar Midah, and you know that this person sold this property under pressure, under duress, is a shtar that you should not have signed. And therefore, we can't force you to sign, we can't accept your testimony when you say, Maidah Haya Dvareinu. We learned in the Mishnah, V'loy le'ish, chazaka b'nechse ishtay. A husband can't achieve a chazaka in his wife's property. Ask the Gemara, how would a chazaka be achieved? A chazaka will be achieved by eating the peiros. But a husband, asked the Gemara, is entitled to eat the peiros of his wife's property. And since the husband is entitled to eat those peiros, obviously the eating the peiros can't make a chazaka. Kivadis le peira, says the Gemara, since the husband is entitled to the peiros, peirid ochel, he's eating what he's entitled to. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, as we will be learning quite extensively, but we've learned this previously. There are two types of properties that a wife brings into a marriage. There's Nechse Melug and Nechse Tzoyim Barzel. Nechse Melug means that the property still is the wife's, but the husband is entitled to eat the payers of the Nechse Melug. So the Gemara presumably here is speaking about the Nechse Melug. So the husband eating the Nechse Melug is something that he's very much entitled to, and therefore his eating the Nechse Melug, eating the peiros, is she sold the property here. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzricha. The Mishnah speaking about a case, says the Gemara, the Kasuv law that the husband wrote, didn't dvarim ainli ben chosayich. He removed himself that he doesn't have any rights to the peiros. So if he removed himself from the peiros, so the halacha is that now his eating the peiros ought to be a raya that he bought the property. Teaches us the Gemara that it's not. Why? Because he, even though he gave up the right to eat the peiros, but when he eats the peiros, we're speaking about a married couple. And our wife is certainly happy to let her husband eat the peiros. And therefore, his eating the peiros is not a proof that the property was sold to him. The Gemara said the Kosov law that he wrote. But the Rajba says he doesn't have to write it. Saying it is still the right. The Rishonim, there's a different pshat that I saw in the Rishonim in explaining this Gemara. They say that when a husband gives up his right to the Paris, it doesn't mean that he's giving up the right to the Paris. What it means is that he's giving her the right to sell these Nechsi Milog. But as long as she still owns the Nechsi Milog, he's allowed to eat the Paris. And therefore, the eating of the Paris is not an indication that he gave up, that he bought the property. Ask the Gemara, Viki Kosov Law, my Havi, ask the Gemara why writing should have any why removing yourself should have any validity. For Tanya, have we not learned in a Braisa? Haimla Chaveroi, if somebody is a partner with somebody else in a property, and he says, Din Dvaram Ainli Asadazu, I don't want to have any legal connection to this property. Vainly Asikba, Vyadi Masulakis Memenu, all these words, Lay Amaklum. And the way we always like to explain the Gemara, this Gemara is like the way the Rashbam explains it. What he means to say is that he's saying a tefillah. This property apparently is a headache to him. And he says, all he means to say is, I wish I didn't have to deal with this property. But it's not to be understood as a halacha, as a situation where he halachically gave up the right to the property. Amalei Debei Rabbi Yanai. So how can we explain, ask the Gemara, that this is the way that what the Gemara is speaking about. So actually, Tosfos says, the Gemara could have said that even though all this wording that we just learned in the Gemara does not indicate, is not a way of giving up rights, but there are wording that is clearly way to giving up right. And all the Gemara should have just introduced is what wording will accomplish that. But the Gemara wanted to teach us a different halacha as well, teaches us the Gemara. Teaches us, says Tosfos. Amay debei Rabbi Yanai Masnisen, Amish is referring to a situation, b'kosel avoy debarusa, where he gave up his rights when they only had erusin. And the halacha is that when they only have erusin, the halacha is that he's not entitled to the peiris. And the Gemara is teaching us, a halacha Rav Kahana taught us, Damar Rav Kahana, Nachla bala adam emakam acher. If somebody is entitled to something because of a takana de rabbanon, one of the examples is that a husband yarshins his wife. Adam, before he's entitled to that, what Chazal gave him, adam masna leh, a person could stipulate shlo yirushenu. So when we have, explains the Rashbam, a yerusha deraisa, a son Yarshin's his father. So there the halacha will be that you can't just make up, I'm not interested in that Yerusha, because it's Masna Mashikos B'Torah, it's a very strong connection. But here, since the husband's right to Yarshin a wife is not that strong, then it's acceptable. Kedama Rava, and this is consistent with what Rava taught us, Dama Rava Kala Oimer, anybody who declares, Efshi B'Takonos Chachamim, I'm not interested in something that Chazal gave to me. The halacha is, Shemin Loi, he has the right to do so. So, since here we're talking about a Yerusha, the Rabbanon, that's why he can make it. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The Rashba has a different approach. He says that it doesn't have to do with if your rights are midaraisa or midrabanan. Rather, says the Rashba, something that you're entitled to because you're entitled to it, that halach is, you can make that type of, you can't make a stipulation. But if your entire right to something only emanates from, if your entire rights only emanate from somebody else, like our Gemara, it's coming from the wife, then the halacha is you can make that type of condition. There is an interesting discussion by many Rishonim and Achronim. The Gemara said that he made this statement for Oida Verusa, so he wasn't yet entitled to the Paris. What would be the halacha if he made it even before the Erisin? In other words, we have this couple, they know they're going to get, Erisin is defined as engaged, but it's imprecise. But before the Erisin, he made that type of of declaration, and the halacha is that the that can that be valid? And the question is, because does he have to have at least some sort of connection to this right that he could forfeit it, or even if he doesn't have any connection to it, he could not forfeit it? The Tosfos asks, but why is this not considered by Dovah Shaloi Balaylam? He doesn't have a right to it. You can't make a transaction on something that you don't own yet. So Tosfos answers that it matters how you word your forfeiting of your right. And by saying the Lashon of Siluk, a Lashon of removing, so then the halacha is that you can make that type of declaration, a Siluk declaration, will be valid in such a situation. It will be valid before the right comes. And Rav, so says the Gemara, the Amar Rava, Kol Aimi Yefshi, if somebody says, I'm not interested, but the Kanas Chachamim, Kigoyin Zois, like this, and the Gemara is going to explain in a moment what does Kigoyin Zois mean, the Halacha is Shemulai, we accept it. Ask the Gemara, my Kigoyin Zois, they were obviously speaking about a certain Takana Rabbanon, to which Rava said that on this Takana Rabbanon, a husband could walk away. So says the Gemara, the halacha is that a husband, of course, has to support his wife. And that takana was made for the benefit of the wife having support. But if the wife says, I'm not interested, I'll rather, and for that the halacha tells us, she has to be willing to give up her earnings to her husband. And the Gemara Masechet Ksubos discusses all of these details. And let's say she says, "Kiravhuna, I'm a Rav Dan Rav Huna. Yichayla ish shtaim lebala." A wife could say to her husband, "Ain in the zaynus, I'm not interested in getting support for any isa, and I don't want to turn over my salary to you." And as we learned in Masechet Ksubos, even as we're learning now, when a wife has a right to make this type of declaration, it's only for what her earnings. It never exempts her for doing what a wife is obligated to do in the home for a husband. And therefore, such a takana, which was made for her behalf, she could say, I'm not interested in it. And the same thing, the husband's right to get the payris, that he can make that type of declaration, he could say that, I'm not interested. Going Zayus, he could say, "I'm not interested in making this kind of a declaration." And the halacha is she walk away. There's an interesting debate amongst the Rishonim. If we learn that this halacha that a husband has to support a wife is a chiv d'rabbanan, so our Gemara is very understandable. The Rabbanan made that takana that the husband has to support the wife, but we're also learning that the wife could walk away from that. But many Rishonim say that the halacha that a husband has to support a wife is a chiv deraisa. So if it's a chiv deraisa, and we're learning that there's a difference between the chiv deraisa or the chiv d'rabbanan, so how do we understand this Gemara? So the Rashba discusses that question, and the Rashba says that the Rashba's approach is that the Rabbanon, as we often discuss, have a right to say Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And since the Rabbanon have a right to say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, included in their saying Hefker Bezdin, included in when they say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, is that this money that the husband has to support the wife, he could walk away. There's also another discussion, because one of the other takanas chazal that is that the payris that a husband gets were instituted tachas pajoina. If Rachman Tzlan, this woman will ever be kidnapped, the husband will be obligated to ransom her, and for that he gets the payris.
So the Rishonim discuss, there's a very big difference between mezoinus, support, which is connected to her earnings, versus peiros, which is connected to being kidnapped. Every day, a woman is earning money if she has a job, and every day, she is the woman who's earning money every day is also needs to eat every day. So every day is a new day. And therefore, and every day, they could rearrange their deal. And she could say, I'm not going to offer you my salary, and you're not going to have to support me. But when we speak about the halacha of pidyon, it's a very different situation. Because most days, hopefully, she wasn't kidnapped. So she could live for a long time and say, I don't want to have this deal. And the husband will say, fine. But then, when she's kidnapped, then when she needs it, she'll say, well, now I want this arrangement, which is very unfair. And therefore, there's a discussion if, even though by mezoinus and mas yadayim, every day is a new day, is that necessarily also going to be the case by other takanas, which it's unfair and difficult to look at everything on a separate daily basis.